Nicely done, Hensley. Nicely done. I tell you, good voice, amen. Seriously. Woo. I'm tired. VBS takes it out of you when you're 41 years old. But it's so amazing to see what the kids are up to these past couple of weeks, or the past week and then into this week. What a blessing it is to be a part of something like that. It actually reminds us on staff that we should never take ourselves too seriously. Because when you see a group of kids having a great time, you can't not do so yourselves. So I'm excited to be here yet tonight, though, to talk about this series, this Radical Christianity series, where we're taking a look at our core values as a church. And tonight being lost people matter to God, and so they matter to us. When I was younger, I had a brother that is about 12 years younger than me. And he was very inquisitive. In fact, his first words were, you know, what's that? Because he would always kind of wonder what was going on and want to see things. And he loved his big wheel too. Loved to ride his big wheel around town. And it's too bad the big wheels have gone away, because they were the craziest, most dangerous thing you could ever put a child on. And we loved it. But he, one time, unbeknownst to us, was riding his big wheel around in the driveway, but decided to go exploring. Because what three-year-old wouldn't want to explore the neighborhood on your big wheel? And I don't even know how much time passed or whose responsibility it was really to keep track of him. This was a different time in a different era where, I mean, you live in small town. What's going to happen? And there came a moment, though, where we looked outside and he was gone. And my mom and I and my stepfather all just were beside ourselves. Like, what happened? Where did he go? What could have possibly gone wrong? Now, you have to understand, too, that we lived close to Simpson College when I grew up in Indianola. And one of the things that I had taken my brother to one time was to watch the Simpson football team practice. Okay, you need to keep that in the back of your mind. So we get in the car and we start driving around the neighborhood frantically looking for my little brother. And I could just see in my mom the stress and the tension and the longing for her son. And in the back seat, I'm, you know, calling his name louder than I possibly should have been shouting, because we were all just wanting him to be home. And I remember driving around for a period of time, who knows how long it is when you're doing that. Time just, it's irrelevant. And yet there's a prompting, a moment where I said, ah, Simpson's practicing right now. Let's go drive down to the practice field. And so we did. We drove down to where they were practicing. And sure enough, there he was on his big wheel, just sitting there watching the football team practice. And I remember my mom just, I mean, the car didn't even come to a complete stop. She was out the door and running after my brother and picking him up. And it wasn't even a moment of, what are you doing? Because he's three. He doesn't have a concept of, I did something wrong. He just wanted to watch football. And she picked him up and embraced him and hugged him. And I was relieved. I mean, crying probably even, because a brother's love is it's vast. And especially when he was that little. And just being so overjoyed that we had found him and that he had been, you know, so close and yet so far. I mean, it literally was a matter of two blocks. And yet it seemed like he was gone forever. That's the idea of this idea that lost people matter. We get that when it comes to our children. My wife, Michelle, and I have three boys. We have twins that are 9 and 5, and we have another 9-year-old that are just amazing. We love them to death. Don't think about that too long. If they were ever to get lost, I would turn over heaven and earth to look for my children. No cost would be too great to find them. Because we get this idea that lost people matter when it comes to those that are very close to us. And in fact, when I came to Hope back in 1999, it was one of the things that attracted me to this ministry, to this mission that Hope has been on for its entire existence. This idea of lost people mattering. I love that because it's my heart language. Lost people really, really matter to me. I'm always looking for people that are on the outside, you know, wanting to be a part of things. When I was growing up in my friend groups, I was always the one trying to include people, you know, making sure they're having a good time. I would always want to be about the business of including folks in what was happening, because it matters, doesn't it? We all want to feel like we belong to something. We don't want to be lost. We don't want to feel like we're not a part of what's going on. And this is why it's a core value for us as a church. And I think why we've grown in so many crazy ways over the better part of my 15 years being here. And so let me preface tonight in what we're going to talk about in this idea that this is not a concept that I'm preaching into necessarily with our understanding as a church. We've done this for many, many years. Lost people have mattered. And so we've grown as a ministry. But the thing that happens after a while, after you've grown, is there does come a point in time where we think, yeah, I think we're big enough. And we stop thinking about this idea that there are people out there that are still longing for belonging to something. What do lost people look like? There are a lot of terms that the church uses these days. You've maybe heard of them before. I hear preachers often say somebody was far from God. Like they were in Cleveland and decided, you know, that God was in LA. Okay, I get that far from God mentality. Or the unchurched, which I've never been a big fan of that that term, because I think many people have had an experience with church. They just maybe didn't like it at some point in time, or they've got some church pain that have kind of distanced them from this idea of belonging to a body. The term that's really common right now are the nones, N-O-N-E-S, no church. They just don't identify themselves as being a part of a body of believers right now. And that's, I think, where we kind of begin this idea tonight, that there are people out there that for whatever reason, by their church pain or just a lack of real understanding of who we are, what we're about, or maybe just a real apathy, they aren't a part of a body of believers like you are in here tonight. Many of you may be in here for the first time and joining us. Thank you for coming in tonight. Yet there's a world out there that is belonging to many things. They're not necessarily lost in the world. There are a lot of things they're a part of, but in our sense of knowing God and being a part of God's story, they don't consider themselves a part of it. Maybe because many of them weren't invited. And that's where we're called. Lost people matter to God, and so they matter to us. It's easy as a church our size to get comfortable with the numbers. In fact, I hear people often say, isn't Hope big enough now? And yeah, we've got a lot of people that come in to worship in this place. But when people say, hey, isn't Hope big enough? One of my first thoughts is, I mean, we're a metropolitan area of 500,000 plus people. Are all of those people now a part of a church? And the answer to that question is no, quite honestly. I'd say, then we're not big enough. Like I said, my heart bleeds toward the lost. My heart bleeds toward those that aren't connected yet. So our mission as a church always and continually goes on to be thinking about how do we find those people that are lost? Because let's face it, they may not even be looking to be found. Isn't that true? Maybe some of you in here tonight, when you started to join Hope, or you started to come and worship with us, you weren't necessarily looking for a church, but somebody invited you and you came in and God spoke to you and something changed. Something ignited inside your heart to say, this is something I want to belong to. But what do lost people look like now? Do they look like the people that are just maybe on the outside? It's more than just a label, isn't it? We're talking about real people. Real people who are living a life, many of them without an understanding of this hope we get from Jesus Christ. Not unlike this story we heard from the Gospel of Matthew tonight, this calling of this guy, this tax collector. Now, before we really dig into the story a little bit, you have to understand something about Matthew or Levi. He was a tax collector. He was the epitome of somebody on the outside of culture. Because who doesn't love the IRS, right? Sorry if you work for the IRS in here. God love you. It's a good thing. But taxes is just one of those words. What do we do with that? Levi was one of those people that was a tax collector. And unfortunately at the time, the tax collectors, the way that they made their money was by collecting for Caesar and a little bit for themselves. It wasn't necessarily an honest trade. And so these were people that had a job to do that nobody ever wanted to be a part of. And here Jesus comes along and he sees this guy Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. And what's the first thing that he says to him? Follow me. And there are always people following Jesus around, watching what he did. They were curious about him. They were curious about him because he was breaking the norm for how church should be church. And here was another place that he was going to do so. Matthew, follow me. And the story goes on to say, Matthew got up and followed him. What was it about Jesus that caused Matthew to say, okay, great, let me just leave my booth here. It's all good. I'm ready to go. There's something about Jesus, that invitation that was compelling him. And what we have to understand is that there was probably some part of Matthew's story that wasn't okay. Sure, he was a tax collector. Maybe he was making a good living, but it wasn't satisfying him. And so the minute somebody came along with a better offer, he was ready to jump at the chance. Folks, there are people around you that are probably living that same story in a different way. They're longing for somebody to come along and give them an invitation into a better story than the one that they're living. Because many of us were once there. So the gospel goes on to say, Jesus went to have dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him. I love that. Matthew throws a party. Who does he invite? His tax collector friends. The very people that nobody in society liked. And I love the Bible says, and other sinners. We don't know what that means. We don't know what their sin was, but they were identified as sinners. And they showed up and they have a party. The Pharisees, the ruling body, the people that thought they had the right power, the people that were the keepers of the law. As I said, they were observing Jesus. They were watching this. They saw what was going on and they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Basically saying, they aren't a part of this. Why is he doing it? That's not right. That's not who he should be hanging out with. Jesus heard this. And he looked at them. And he said something very curious. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Why would Jesus say that? It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. Have you ever been truly like in that moment of like desperate flu, cough, cold, achy, and you would do anything to be well? You long for that healing. What Jesus was really pointing out in the Pharisees is you think you're healthy. You think you've got it figured out. And if that's the case, I don't want to hang out with you. I'm hanging out with these tax collectors. You want to know why? Because they get the fact that they're sick. They get the fact that they need some healing. He goes on to say, learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Here's language they're starting to understand, because the Pharisees were all about sacrificial living, all about this idea of making things right with God through our own power, through things that we could offer. And what Jesus was saying is, we're turning this on its head. Being sick is understanding that there's somebody who can make you well, and that's me, Jesus. He says, I've come to not call the righteous, but the sinners, the people who get the fact that they have a need for me. Jesus had a heart for people that didn't understand necessarily that there was a better story out there, but they knew that the story that they were living was not good. If we lose sight of that as a people of God, then pretty soon what's going to happen to us, and I don't see that happening, but I want to just cautionary say this, we'll start to turn church into a clubhouse, into the who's in and who's out sort of idea. Any of you eaten at the wonderful, most bestest place in the world, In-N-Out Burger? You've been on the West Coast, maybe. You've been in Phoenix, other places where there is one. And doggone, if their burgers aren't just unbelievable. But if you aren't aware of this, they have a secret menu. It's kind of the cool thing these days. There's the menu that you can look at. Then there's the secret menu that only those who are on the in know about. How many of you have ever eaten off the secret menu before? Anybody? No. Did you know that it exists? Look it up sometime. Google it tonight. Google the In-N-Out Burger secret menu, because there are some items on there you're going to want to try if you're ever in proximity of an In-N-Out burger. But that's not just there. There are a lot of restaurants that have this, you know, kind of insider, this, oh, if you only knew, here's what you could have. This is what happens to us as a church sometimes when we get this idea of who's in, who's out. We start to use insider language, language that only like folks that are around are going to get. And how does that look to somebody who's on the outside? Is that inviting? Does that feel like something you want to be a part of? Have you ever been on the outside of a conversation before? And how alone that can feel. And you want to be a part of it, but you got to feel like, well, maybe I need to know a certain thing, or maybe I wasn't there, you know, to be a part of that sort of, you know, to understand what's going on. This is what I've unfortunately seen happen too often in the church, and I'm using that in quotes right now, not necessarily here at Hope. But this idea of the only way to belong is to make sure you're in. And to be in means you have to buy into a prescribed sort of way of things. Whether that's a certain way to worship, whether that's a certain way to dress, whether that's a certain place to sit, whether it's a certain time to be there. There's all kinds of rules that do exist, unfortunately, to kind of give us a feeling of being in. I'm not saying that there aren't necessarily spiritual disciplines that we need to exhibit as followers of Jesus Christ that help us be a part of an active walk in faith. I'm talking more about those things that help the church feel like a clubhouse, like those checklists that we go off. When I was young, this is why I wasn't a part of a church up until I was in about eighth grade. Because any time that I would visit, all that I would feel is, oh man, I don't know anything about this guy, Jesus. And everybody around me seemed like they got it. And nobody bothered to take the time to tell me anything about it. They just sort of did their thing. And here I was kind of in the back going, what do I do? You know, they did this. I went to a VBS one time and they did this thing called Bible Race. Maybe this was part of something when you were growing up where they would say a chapter and a verse and you had to be the first person to find it. Well, I had an old King James version of the Bible that didn't have tabs. That was what my mom had, and this was the only Bible we owned. And so when they would say Ezekiel, I have no idea where this is. And all I saw was these other kids, got it! And I'm in the back going, what? We got to be careful about this idea of reaching out so we don't get too much into this idea that we've got it all figured out, because here I'm here to tell you, we don't. We just happen to know somebody who does. And if you hear nothing else tonight, hear that. We serve a God who has it figured out so that we don't have to. We serve a God that loved us so dearly that he came and gave himself for us so that we didn't have to be good enough, so that we didn't have to belong or be in. Because if we are so about being in, then unfortunately what we're going to find ourselves is quite the opposite. We're going to be on the outs. We're going to be in that wrong crowd, that crowd that's looking in, that crowd of Pharisees, that crowd of people who are looking at others saying, hey, you don't belong. Hey, why are you here? Maybe you've felt that at some point in time in your life. It hurts, doesn't it? This is what the Pharisees were doing. They were looking at these tax collectors, these people that Jesus was eating with, and saying, hey, they're the wrong sort of people. They are sinners, labeled. They don't belong hanging out with you, Jesus. And Jesus said, no. It's quite the opposite. If that's the way you think, then I don't know that we can have a conversation right now. I'm going to hang out with these people because they understand a need for something. See, we're a part of the wrong crowd. The mentality is less about the folks around us and more about what's in it for me. How am I being served? What do I get out of this? How do I, you know, matter in what's going on? It's this self-serving idea of church versus this selfless idea that we are called to reach out. We're called to look for those. We're called to constantly be living out as an example to others that there's a story to be a part of. See, if we're a part of the wrong crowd, that's where the clubhouse exists. That's where we kind of close in on ourselves. And we only want those people around us that are very like-minded. Folks, that's really hard to break into. What Jesus was doing in this story was taking that crowd and flipping them around and saying, look out at the world around you. Because there are people constantly on a daily basis around us who are lost. And maybe, just maybe, we're not open enough to be able to see them. We're kind of immune to this idea that there are lost people out there. We get comfortable in our numbers. We get comfortable in our section at the church. We get comfortable in all these things. And pretty soon we start to miss the things around us. Think about it like this. I've often heard people talk about those that live in proximity to the mountains or proximity to the ocean. And, you know, us in Iowa, we don't get an opportunity all the time to see things like that, honestly. And so when we go and we see the mountains or we see the ocean, oh, whoa, amazing, beautiful, wow, how could you not appreciate this? And yet I've talked to people who live in proximity to those things, and over time, being in proximity to something, you forget often that they're there or the beauty in them. It's not unlike that idea we have in our house, my children, socks are those things that just end up in places. Isn't that true if you have kids? I mean, they might get the regular clothes into the hamper, but socks, for whatever reason, no. They just end up in places. And there'll be times that I'll be walking around and I'll see a sock, just a strand, you know, a random sock over in a corner. And I'll like, you know what, I should pick that up. And I walk by. And 6 days can go by. And after about 4 or 5 days, the sock, even though it's there, you don't see it anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Almost to the point of like, hey, where's my sock? What's going on? And you can stumble right over it and not realize that it's there. There are lost people all around us. But if we get too busy living our lives of self-looking, you know, and self-feeding, we're going to miss this idea that there are people out there who are lost, who are hungry, who are wanting something bigger than the story that they're living. So let me turn us on a question here a little bit. Who is it right now in your life that you know that you would love to see sitting next to you right now, but for whatever reason, you haven't necessarily yet talked to them about coming in? And there are a lot of variety of reasons for why we may not do that. There's a fear in that. There's a fear in reaching out to others. What happens if they say no? What happens if they don't want to show up? Or maybe, and just maybe, and I've been there, where you kind of have, and when I was younger and starting out in church, I had my church life, and I had my friend life. And my church life, my friend life didn't quite always match up in the same way. Like what I did with my friends was quite a bit different than when I walked in on Sunday mornings to church. But I hadn't quite reconciled that yet in my mind. And if we're living kind of that duality in our lives of not necessarily living out the gospel on a regular basis, it's hard to think, you know, I should reach out to this person. Because we're afraid, oh, what happens if they find out I go to church? Then what will they think of me? I sat with a couple many, many years ago that I was going to be a part of their wedding. And I always ask couples. I say, tell me how you met. Tell me your story. How did you guys? And this particular couple, one in particular, looked at me and kind of looked at each other and they had this look of fear. I said, well, how did you meet? They kind of sheepishly under their breath said, well, we met in a bar. Like, okay. You go, what? That's your story, isn't it? That's where you met, right? Yeah. Well, who cares how you met, where you met, right? Isn't there this weird feeling like we don't want to share this other part of our life? We don't want to admit that maybe we're broken. Maybe we still have parts of our story that aren't quite all there. When Jesus said, I have come to save the sick, not the healthy, we had to be really careful as a people of God not to get caught thinking we're healthy. We always got to remember we have a dependency on a Savior, on a real living Savior. But it doesn't mean we need to identify completely solely as, you know, as the sick, okay? Don't get lost there. But don't lose sight of the fact that you were once where maybe these lost people are, and maybe you're still there now. And imagine if somebody hadn't spoken a word to you or thought to invite you. Because that truly was my story. When I was in eighth grade, I had a sense that there was something missing in my life. That's the nature of a relationship with God. God's wired us up for a relationship with him. And when that doesn't exist, there will always kind of be a longing that we're going to try and fill with a variety of different things. That was me, although I was young. And I remember very distinctly riding home from basketball practice with my best friend, Chad. And it was a Wednesday. And back in that day, basketball practice on Wednesdays ended early because Wednesday was church night. And I remember, Wednesday nights were very boring for me because all of my friends went to church. And so I would sit at home. And I didn't do homework, not because I didn't have homework. I just didn't do homework. So I would often just sit in my room and wonder what I was going to do. But for whatever reason, on this particular drive home, I just said, "Hey, Chad, what are you doing tonight?" And he said, "Hey, I'm going to church. Do you want to come along?" Jesus said to Matthew, "Come follow me." And he got up. I'm like, yes, I've been longing for something different because what I'm doing right now is boring. I don't like it. And I went. And that moment in that car in my driveway radically altered the direction of my life. Radically altered the trajectory that I was on. We say that there are often divine appointments in our lives, and I believe that to be one for me. Now, there are points along the way where I had, you know, to kind of get, you know, real with God again and kind of allow him to keep steering me and keep directing me and keep moving me. But that moment was very pivotal. We don't understand. When it comes to reaching out to the lost, we have a responsibility and we have the potential through God to alter the very trajectory of people's lives by telling them there's a better story, a bigger story than the one you're living right now. If you would only surrender long enough to recognize that they need it. And that's where it begins, with a simple invitation to a party. Who doesn't love a party? We've been having a great one this past week at VBS. I tell you, it's one of my favorite 2 weeks of the year because for this 2 weeks, it's really frowned upon for us to sit at our desks. I don't know if you sit at a desk regularly where you're at, but imagine if your boss came along and said, "I don't want to see you here. I want to see you out roaming the halls, talking to people all day." Woohoo, VBS. We get to hang out with kids, be fools, be silly, wear crazy costumes, act in ways we wouldn't normally do, because for this 2 weeks, it is a chance for us to introduce kids to a story. And truth be told, as I've been a part of this ministry now for about 15 years, a vast majority of the way that we have grown is because kids came in to either our kids ministry or VBS or something like that, got excited about what they were experiencing, and invited mom or dad to come back and check it out. "Mom, dad, you gotta come see what's going on." You don't believe me? Take a look just at this video that our production team put together as just a brief synopsis of what has been happening this week, and just see if you can find the invitation in the kids. Take a look.
Gonna stop, never gonna quit, always on top. He is there when you need. He hears when I call, there when I fall, all day long. You gotta know he is a marvelous God. Every time of day and in every way, he is the rock when you need help around the clock. Everywhere I go, everything I see, all day long. You gotta know he is a marvelous God.
I really liked singing and dancing and the skits.
My favorite part of VBS is the snacks.
Being able to be with your friends and singing songs that you know from the radio.
Definitely the dancing.
My favorite part of VBS is meeting new friends and the music.
He is my friend to VBS, and we had a blast learning about God, and it was her first time, and I think she had a lot of fun.
Yes, I invited my friend Katie.
I thought it was just going to be, like, just a tiny church with no music, just Bible music and stuff. But when I came here, I was like, wow, it's so awesome. I want to come back next year.
It's important to invite friends so they can learn the Jesus power.
Jesus, that he suffered his life for us, and he's really nice.
I learned that Jesus is awesome.
I learned that Jesus gives us our superpowers and that he is our superhero.
He's a marvelous God and that he died for us.
I learned that he died on the cross so that we could be with God.
He is my savior and he is awesome. He's God's son. He died for us.
Jesus is a leader, and he sticks up for right, even though when people didn't believe he was the Son of God, he believed in himself because he knew he was the Son of God.
My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
The thing about kids, and I see this in my boys, it's not hard for them to invite people to stuff. We're going to go jump on the trampoline. You want to go? No, I'm 41. I'll probably break something. But they always want to invite us into something because that's how we're wired as kids. But somewhere along the way, we forget how important it is to invite people to stuff. And yet there are people around us right now who are dying to know there's a better story. And what we have to be ready for is that prompting from God to reach out and to be bold enough to just ask. I mean, the worst they could say is no. And then you keep asking them again until they say yes. I'm kidding, only mildly. On average, it says it takes somebody about 7 times to be invited into church before they finally say yes. And maybe some of you, that's your story. Somebody had been working on you for a long, long time, and finally you gave in and said, all right, I'll go if you'll just stop asking. It's invitational. And it's because we are up at a party that is awesome, and who wouldn't want to be a part of something like that or something like we get to be a part of every single weekend? And yet when we go into our places of business or our places of school or places like that, We kind of bottle it up and say, well, I can't show that here because, whoa, I wonder what they'll think of that. When in all actuality, this is the greatest story ever told. And it doesn't just exist in here on Saturday nights or on Sunday mornings. It exists every single day of the week. We have the life-giving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell people about. And for whatever reason, we just are ashamed to do so sometimes. I want to give you all permission this week to start talking to people about it. In a way that helps them see that something's changed in you and you love for them to come and be a part. Because the truth is, lost people matter. And we were once lost, but now we're found. And maybe right now you're in that finding phase. Let's look at this verse, Romans 5:8. I love the NRSV translation. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be right. He just said, it's right now. You don't have to look at the people around you and say, oh, you have to get your life together before you come into church. I don't want to invite you with me because, you know, you're not quite ready yet. No, they were ready long ago. We just need to invite them. Where did we lose this idea you had to be right before you came to church? What matters is that God loved us that much. And lost people implies that there's a person who needs to know that God loves them. There's an old story. I've been told many times. If you've not heard it before, know that I'm not clever enough to make something like this up. But there's a beach, and a man walking along the beach. And there was an unusually high tide the night before, and had washed several starfish up on the beach. And he's walking along, he's looking at these starfish, recognizing there's no way they're going to get back into the ocean. It was just going to be impossible. And further down the beach, he saw a little boy who was picking up starfish, dusting them off, and throwing them back. And the man paused and looked around him and saw hundreds upon hundreds, nay, thousands of these starfish. And he kind of wondered, what is this boy doing? And he walked over to him and said, boy, don't you realize there are hundreds of these starfish around? I mean, how can you possibly make a difference? How can this possibly matter what you're doing? And the boy looked him in the face, picked up another starfish, dusted it off and said, hey, it matters to this one. And he threw it back. Yeah, there's a lot of people around you. A lot of people maybe even who aren't a part of a church. But there are those ones that you've developed a relationship with, that you've hung out with, that all it's going to take maybe is an open invitation saying, hey, just come and see. Just come and check it out. It's the reason we do things like Taste of Hope next weekend, where we just throw out all the stops and just have a crazy party out in the parking lot with funnel cakes and corn and games and a fun run, all this kind of stuff. We do that because we want people to come in and get introduced to church. And after they do so, stick around. We once were lost, but now we're found. So why wait? When you bump into that whoever, and I know this to be true, and I just take a moment and stop and think of a name, of a person right now. What's keeping you from inviting them? Because is this not the greatest story ever told, that we have a God who loves us in spite of our nature and says, you are worthy regardless? Because when I was in eighth grade and I went back into church and I walked into that confirmation class, which is dramatically different than what we have now on Wednesdays. On Wednesday nights, we have 300 or so kids per grade sitting in this room. I walked into a room of 13 people. I was number 14. And remember, I had church pain. I had a lot of times that I'd walked in somewhere and I had been made to feel like I didn't have it figured out. And I walk in and I sat down, and Pastor Gene Anderson, a guy that was the epitome of a monk, I mean, he had the haircut to match. He looked at me, this crazy kid walking in by himself. And he said, hey, what's your name? Mark, I'm so glad you're here. Why don't you sit over here? That's all it took. I was hooked. Somebody just said, hey, I'm glad you're here. Not really rocket science, is it? But we make it out to be, don't we? When Jeremiah was little, the prophet Jeremiah, he was afraid because God was sending him on a crazy mission, which is often how we think about reaching out to the lost. And God promised Jeremiah, I will give you the words. I'll put them on your lips. Don't believe for a moment that God will not do the same for you. You might be freaked out, like, oh my goodness. Stop. Pray. God, what do I need to say? And go. Invite. Because lost people matter to God, so they must matter to us. Amen? Let's pray. God, I pray right now for those people in our lives, those folks that maybe are on that outside looking in, God, that we would be prompted by you, by your Holy Spirit, God, to have a word of invitation for them, a word of kind invitation into your amazing grace, amazing story. God, we love you that you loved us enough, that you didn't say we had to be a certain way, act a certain way. You just said, I like you just as you are, and that's a message we can share with those around us is a blessing. God, I pray that we would do so boldly this week in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Have a great rest of your weekend.